Well, we want to turn this morning to 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John, Epistle of John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. We're going to read together just a few verses from verse 1. So, 1 John, chapter 2, and the verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Amen. And we pray the Lord to bless that short reading of his word to all of our hearts. I want to speak in that little phrase at the end of verse 6, that to walk even as he walked, but to walk like Christ. And that's the theme, really, that we find here in this text. John is writing to these believers. He's leaving them no doubt how they are to live in the world, how they are to walk in this world, but to walk as he walked. And we want to look at that this morning. Let's look to the Lord and pray for his help. Father in heaven, we ask that thou would give us thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for a sense of your presence. That would be like Mary of old who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And let us all listen to thy word this morning, Lord, with profit. And teach us all lessons. We have all lessons, Lord, to learn from thy truth. And we pray thou wilt speak to all of us today. And thou wilt give us a closer walk with God that we were singing about earlier on in our service. So we ask now for help. To minister thy word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You click on the internet, you'll find there are a number of companies doing holiday tours in Israel. Some of the ways that they would highlight their tour would be put these words, to walk where Jesus walked. They go on to tell you about different places, Galilee, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, or Calvary. To walk where Jesus walked. Some people here in the congregation has been in Israel, and we can say we have walked, in a sense, where Jesus walked. There is a song, and it says, I walk today where Jesus walked in days of long ago. I wandered down each path he knew with reverent step and slow. But notice here this morning that the Apostle John is not telling us to walk where Jesus walked. That's not what he is doing at all. He is telling us to walk as Jesus walked. That's a different story altogether. Peter brings out the same truth in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. It's the same theme. It's the same message. John is saying, walk as Jesus walked. Peter is saying the same things, that Christ has left us an example in this world that we are to follow his steps. And that message is very clear. If you profess to be a Christian and to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, you are to walk as he walked. You are to follow his steps. So we need to find out how he walked. If I am told in the word of God, and we can see very plainly here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, so to walk even as he walked. If we are told to walk like Jesus Christ, then we need to find out how he walked. Because I want to follow Christ. Were we not singing that great hymn, following Jesus ever, day by day? Are you not glad, child of God, this morning you're following Jesus Christ? Years ago, we were following the world. We were following sin. We were following the devil that was taking us down towards hell. But the grace of God, He has saved us. He has washed us from our sins. And we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you this, we're not ashamed of that. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not ashamed of Him. We're followers of Christ. So we're going to walk like Him. We've got to walk like Him. So we want to find out then how He walked. Because we are to walk as He walked. And the first thing I want to see in the walk of Jesus Christ, it was a walk of holiness. Because as I look upon His life, as He lived here upon the earth, we find that the supreme stamp of holiness was upon His life. Now, if I took you to Isaiah 59 and verse 7, it tells us how the wicked walked, how they lived in the world. Because it says in Isaiah 59 verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. And we see these people, and they're walking, or they're running. They're running after sin. But it was not so of Christ. Not so of Jesus Christ. This was a walk of holiness. When I come to the Bible, we are told in 1 Peter 2, verse 22, of Jesus Christ, who did no sin. That can be said of no other person in this planet. It is said of Jesus Christ, who did no sin. Not one sin. Not one sin. He never sinned in word or thought or in deed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it tells us, who knew no sin. But you want to hear it again? John says, 1 John 3, verse 5, and in Him is no sin. I want you to think of that. Because we look at Jesus Christ's life, we listen to His words, we look into His heart, we look at His thoughts, I see there's no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. And in Jesus Christ, there is no sin. And as He walked in this world, dear friends, we see here very clearly that His steps, He walked in the pathway of holiness. In fact, when you come to the Bible, you'll find He resisted sin. He resisted the temptation to sin. Now, temptation to sin is not sin. It's when you follow it through, it's sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, we find over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 to 11, that the devil came, and a number of times, three times he came to Jesus Christ, and he tempted the Son of God to sin. He says, turn these stones into bread. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you worship me. He took him up onto the pinnacle, and he says to them, just cast yourself down, let the angels catch you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was tempted. He was tempted to sin, but He never sinned. He never sinned. The one time in the Bible, in John chapter 8 and verse 46, when the Lord Jesus was surrounded with His enemies, He says to them, which of you convinceth me of sin? So He gave them an opportunity. He says, which one of you can see sin in my life? Go ahead. Name it. Show it to me. Proclaim it before all the other people. Which one of us? He gave them all an opportunity. And dear friends, they were all silent. Because there was none. His life was impeccable. It was a walk of holiness. So much so, the Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 17, that Jesus Christ said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And what He's showing us here, friends, is this. He kept the law of God completely. In every area. In every area. Now, that's not true of me. It's not true of you. It is not true of any person in this world, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's true of Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He kept the law of God perfectly. In Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says, "For such an high priest became us who was holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heavens." And here Paul is telling us something about the character or the holiness of life of Jesus Christ. He's holy and he's harmless, and he's undefiled. Now, our text informs me I'm to walk like Jesus walked. And when I come to the Bible, God's standard is the same for all of us. For instance, in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, it says, "For as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And the word conversation there doesn't mean chat, it means behavior. And Peter here is writing to the believers, those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's telling them, "You're to be holy as I am holy." That's what God is saying. In all of your behavior, that's God's standard. We're to walk as Jesus walked. This has always been God's standard for his people. In Exodus 19, verse 6, it says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation." And the way then to Moses. And Moses was speaking to the children of Israel, and he was saying, here's what God is saying, or God is saying unto the people, you'll be a holy nation. We are to be holy people. That's why there's places we can't go. That's why there's words we can't say. That's why as Christians there's things we can't do. Because we have to walk as Jesus walked. We're to be a holy people. Of course we're going to be tempted. It says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness." We're going to be tempted. But what are we to do? We're to run. We are to run away from temptation. We think of Joseph when he was tempted with Potiphar's wife. He ran. He ran away from it. And we are to flee. We are to flee from temptation. We're not to put ourselves in the place of being tempted. But we're to flee from it. We're to walk as Jesus walked. Holiness. Look at your life and say, well, am I walking this way? Are there things in my life that perhaps should not be there? Am I doing things? Am I going to places where I should not be going? Am I saying things I should not be saying? Am I walking like Jesus Christ? We were singing, I'm following Jesus. Or are you walking like him? That we all feel. Don't get me wrong this morning. That's why he says in verse 1, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." What tremendous words they are to all God's people, because we fail, we fall sometimes, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can pray to him. He forgives us. We're walking like Jesus Christ. We're following him. We're not living like the world. We'll live the Christ. Are you living that way today, child of God? You're walking in holiness. You're unsaved. You say, no, well, I'm walking the complete opposite. My life is upside down. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's wicked. In God's sight, you need to be saved. You need to turn from your sin and come to Christ. I want to walk like Jesus walked. He walked in holiness. And he walked humbly as well in this world. We see that in his life. He walked in great humility and meekness. So much so when he walked among people, they didn't recognize him. In John 1, verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." They didn't know that this one who was in their midst, he is the creator of the world. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He is God. They didn't know it. just walked humbly among the people. Remember, he said in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The humiliation of Jesus Christ as he lived here in this world. We see that, of course. We think about his deity taking on humanity. Remember Paul writing to the believers of the church of Philippi, and he's exhorting them to live in lowliness and mind and humility, and he brought before them the great example of Jesus Christ. He says, look at Jesus Christ. Look what he did. In verse 5, he tells them, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he tells them what he did. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Before that, he told them, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So he's bringing you right up into the heavens, and he's showing you that Jesus Christ is God. But what he did was this. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. He came right down from heaven down to this old sin-cursed earth, and he took the form of a servant. That was a great step. You see his humility here in his deity. You can see it also in his duties. I read the Bible. The Lord Jesus went quietly around and proclaiming the word of God to the people. Remember, it says in Matthew 12 and verse 18 about him, it says, behold, my servant. And he's saying, look at him. Take a look at my servant. He is God's servant. And God says, look at him. He's going to show you how to serve me. He's going to show you how to walk with me. And so we look at him in the Bible. And he went on to say, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. And he said in verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Now that means he didn't go about beating a big drum. He did not. He did it quietly and humbly and meekly. Of course he proclaimed the word of God. Of course he did great miracles. But it was not a circus. It was not a show. He went about quietly doing good. You see, dear friends, his walk was walk of humility. Even his duties and his death. Remember, it says in Philippians 2, verse 8, and being formed found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you see him? Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends? He has come from glory and he's went to the cross. He is the King of Kings. He is the King of glory. There he is. He sacrificed himself. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Remember, our text tells me here, we're to walk as he walked. And God's people are to be a humble people. Now think about it. We've nothing to be proud about. Think of what we were. Think of how we lived in our unsaved days. Think about where we were going, lost without Christ. And he came and he rescued us. And he saved us. And he washed us in his blood. And he gave us everlasting life. We are what we are today by the grace of God. Remember, Paul talked about himself in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am. He's looking at himself, my friend. He's looking at his heart. He was looking at his life. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He was not proud. Anybody could have been proud of his achievements. It was Apostle Paul. He saw people saved and churches established. He could do great miracles. But dear friends, he said, I'm just a wretched man. He was humble. And you and I can look into ourselves and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, I'm saved by grace. Praise the Lord for that. But we have nothing to be proud about. All the honor and all the glory goes to Jesus Christ. And even in our duties, The fact that we can render any service unto the Lord is by His grace and by His mercy. Why is it you're in church today? Why is it I'm standing up here preaching to you? I did quote the text. I'm going to quote it again to you. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Are we any better than anybody outside the church building this morning? Are we any better than any people in all along a Kukil area? There are people far better, live far better lives than you and I, perhaps in our own saved days. But we're here this morning by the grace of God. He has saved us. He has changed us. He has given us eternal life, and we're in His house today. So I can't boast of anything I am or what I do. Because everything I am and everything I have has been given to me. You to walk humbly. Walk humbly in this world. The Bible says in Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Keep ourselves humble. Some go about, beating their own drum in their ministry. Some people call their ministry after themselves. I can put a name in here, Jimmy Swaggart. You've heard of him in America. It's called Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. This is called after him. Imagine having the church outside the sign, Noel Shields Ministries. It would be terrible. Or some other name. We put the name of Christ. He is first. He is foremost. He is prominent. He is everything. The Bible tells me in Micah 6 verse 8, and He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy. And here's what He said. And to walk humbly with thy God. This was proclaimed by Micah in the Old Testament. What does God require of thee? Think of the words. To walk humbly with thy God. Tell me this morning, are you walking humbly? Are you walking humbly like Jesus Christ? It was said of John Newton, that great man of God, great preacher and songwriter who wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that when he was upon his deathbed, that a young clergyman came to see him. The young clergyman, of course, expressed great, deep regret at the prospect of losing the Lord's servant. John Newton looked at him. He says, I'm going on before you, and no doubt you'll come after me. And when you arrive, our friendship will no doubt cause you to inquire for me. But I'll tell you where you'll find me, or likely find me. So the young clergyman was listening to this great saint of God, for he wanted to know where he's going to be. He said, I'll be sitting at the feet of the faith whom Jesus saved in His dying moments on the cross. Well, that's some statement. John Newton, the hymn writer, the mighty preacher, the mighty man of God, and he said to this young clergyman, if you search for me in heaven, I tell you where you'll probably find me. I'll be sitting at the feet of the faith whom Jesus Christ saved as He was dying upon the cross. That was humility. I'll be sitting at His feet. Dear friends, walk humbly with thy God. Because if we walk proudly, the Lord will soon humble us. He'll soon humble us, He'll soon bring us down a peg or two. He'll do it for you. Keep your eyes on Christ. Can I say it to you? He walked in harmony. He walked in harmony as well because he walked in harmony with the Father's will. He never veered to the right or to the left of the Father's will. How do I know this? Well, I hear a voice from heaven, and it says in John, our Lord Jesus said, John 8, verse 29, for I do always those things that please Him. And notice what Jesus Christ is saying. I do always those things which please Him. And in John 5 and verse 30, He says, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And notice what He's saying. He's living His life here on this earth, and He's saying, I'm not doing my own will, but I'm doing the Father's will. He did it completely. He walked in harmony with the Father's will. You know, child of God, God has got a will for all of us. Find over in Romans chapter 12 how we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Paul here is saying to believers, give your all to Jesus Christ. Put yourself on the altar as a living sacrifice. Give him your all. Live for him. Of course, you have your home if you do that. You have your children if you do that. You have your business. But you've put it all in his hands. Have you done that? Have you said all to Jesus? In my heart, I surrender all to Jesus. I give my all to thee. I give myself. I give my silver. I give my gold. I give my possessions. I give my family. Lord, I give all. I give all to thee. The Lord Jesus Christ walked in harmony to do the Father's will. And you and I have only one opportunity to live such a life. To walk as Jesus walked in this world, to walk in harmony with the Father's will. I ask you, are you walking like Jesus Christ in this matter? The Father's will, he walked in harmony. He walked in harmony with the people as well. If you look at that, of course, in his life, he displayed nothing but love and kindness to people. He was approachable. He was loving. He was kind. He was not bad-tempered. He did not argue. He did not fight. You see, he walked in harmony. He never spoke unkindly against his enemies. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, it tells me who, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You and I probably give our own back. If somebody crossed us a particular day, I tell you, and they opened up to us, we'd maybe open up back. But not Christ. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He walked in harmony. And we're to be like him. Harmony with fellow man. Not to be argumentative or crooked. Easy to get along with. We are to walk in love in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. In this particular book, in fourth chapter, and chapter 3, in verse 11, he tells them here that you should love one another. And God's people are people who are to love one another, to be kind to one another, and to be in harmony with one another. This is what we are to do if we are to walk like Jesus Christ. We're to walk in harmony as far as it lies within us. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he's saying, put away all this bitterness. Put away all this wrath and all this anger and all this clamor and all this evil speaking. Put away. Why? Because we're to walk like Jesus Christ. Put it all away. And he said, be ye kind one to another, and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And child of God, we are to walk in harmony with one another. We're to walk as Jesus walked. Are we doing this? Do we allow things to come in to spoil this harmony, this unity of the people of God? And things do happen. We have to say this. But let us all seek to walk as Jesus walked. And he walked honestly as well, because we find here every step he took, it was a step of truth. Every word he spoke, remember, it was truth. Remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he cannot lie, you see. He walked in the truth. Of course, the enemies accused him of blasphemy. Matthew 9, verse 3, it said, behold, certainly the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. That was his enemies. They rose up against Christ and said, he's blaspheming. But dear friends, he walked honestly. First Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's no guile, no deceit in his mouth at all. Let us be an honest people. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Notice what Paul is writing to this church, and he's telling them how to walk. Remember, we're walking like Jesus walked. And he says here that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. He's speaking here about the unsaved. And I'm living among them. I'm talking with them. I'm doing business with them. How am I to live? You're to walk honestly towards them that are without. And then know that you're a man or a woman if you're bond, your word. What you say is truth. If you say it, it's true. That's the type of life we are to live. We are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to walk honestly. In 3 John 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. We're to walk in the truth. We're to tell the truth. We're to be like Jesus Christ. There's been no guile in our mouth. Oh, dear friends, there's no such thing as a white lie. There's no such thing. A lie's black. A lie is always a lie. We can't do it. If I want to walk like Jesus Christ, we don't tell lies. What a bad testimony. If you claim to be a child of God and you tell lies, it's terrible. If people know it and you're found out, and you know yourself, you get to a stage that you can never trust anybody who tells lies. I worked with a man one time years ago, and to me he was one of the best workers that I ever worked with, a very hard-working man. But I had to say this about him. He was probably the biggest liar I ever worked with as well. You couldn't believe a word he told me. I got to the stage, whatever he told me, and he'd probably tell me the truth sometimes. I couldn't believe him. I didn't know why he was telling me the truth or not. That's how the ungodly live. We're different. We're walking in the truth. We're loving the truth. We're walking like Jesus Christ. We're walking honestly in this world. And so we tell the truth. Do it, my friends. If you fail in this area, repent of it, get under the blood, and seek to walk with Christ. Let's be honest people. But known in this village that we're honest people. Because we're following Jesus Christ, we're living for Him. And I want to walk like he walks, not like the world walks. They tell lies, and they've no bother telling lies. And maybe you're unsaved in this meeting this morning, and you have no bother telling any lies at all. And God knows all about it. And it's sin. And you'll be punished for your sin for all eternity in hell if you continue. For all liars are cast into the lake and fire and brimstone. I want to walk like Jesus. It was a heavenly walk, can I say it very quickly? As he walked in this world, all his steps, his mind, listen, he was towards heaven. His dwelling was in heaven. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. In John chapter 18, verse 36. His destination was in heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. His desire was towards heaven. Do you remember he prayed in John chapter 17, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was longing for a home. He wanted home. He wanted to be in heaven. He wanted to be with his Father as he lived here on this earth. It was a heavenly walk. Heaven was before him. Now I know we have to live in this world. There are things to do. Responsibilities to be played out, friends. But we're walking like Jesus. We're going home. We're going home. One day we'll be with Christ. Set your affection on things above. As the Bible tells me. The Lord Jesus says to lay up your treasures where? In heaven. This world is not our own. We're passing through, friends, very, very quickly. One day it's all over. So we're walking, we're living in this world, but I'm walking like Jesus Christ. Heaven is before me. Everlasting life. And one day I'll be with Him for all eternity. Are you walking that way? Maybe some in the meeting, the opposite direction. Heading down towards hell to lose your soul. Friends, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish rolling after the world or rolling after sin. Repent and believe the gospel. And come to Jesus Christ the way you are, and His blood will wash you. He will give you everlasting life. And then you'll start to walk as Jesus walked. Isn't that wonderful? Even this very day, beautiful sunny day outside, when the wonder of the Lord has touched your heart, if I can help you, speak with me. But friends, get to Christ, get under the blood, and start to walk like Jesus Christ. He will save you. It's not trying to walk like Him that saves you. It's He that saves you. He changes you. He transforms you. He gives you eternal life. And then you start to walk again. Walk as Jesus walked. May God help us all to be such people in this community, in this congregation, and to walk like Jesus Christ in this world. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for being with us. We pray we've been challenged by Your word, Lord. Not only challenged, but changed. There are things now we need to go home and set in order and say, I want to walk to Christ. There are things going to have to be cast to the side. And Lord, I pray that we'll do it. And I pray that we'll be known in the community that we're different. Well, we have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. We've been washed in the blood of a lamb. And we're followers of Christ. They can see it in our lives, Lord. They can say to Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And Lord, may that be said of all of us, because we're walking like the Lord Jesus. Do you touch the hearts of any unconverted? I pray that You'll bring them to faith in Christ even now. Take us now our separate ways, Lord, into our homes in safety, and be with us in all we do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.